CPS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to The Survivor Brothers, the ultimate unofficial podcast from your friends at TV Guide. I'm your Survivor-obsessed host, Fox Van Allen, and joining me this week, as is the case every week throughout the Survivor 40 Winners at War season, a man who runs around and just butts in on everybody's Survivor conversation, it's Mr. Lance Cartelli. Hello, Lance.
Hey, Fox, I'm ready to butt in on your conversation right now.
Yeah, that's great. We have a, we are merged, Lance. That is, we're like at the halfway point of the season.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, it was a, an interesting episode. We got a lot to talk about here. So obviously we're going to be talking about the epic Edge of Extinction buyback challenge. We'll talk about, who benefits from Wendell being voted out and who probably screwed themselves here. And, we'll give you another Survivor business report. I know everybody loves business reports, right? Very exciting stuff. So I
love them.
Yeah. I know we normally start with by talking about who got voted out of the game this week. But I want to do things a little bit differently this week because I think we need to talk first about who gets voted or who gets put back in the game, and then we'll talk about who gets voted out of the game. Let's head straight off to the Edge of Extinction. How exciting is this, right? Edge of Extinction.
I mean, to be honest, these first 15 minutes on Edge of Extinction were probably like the best we've had. It might have been my favorite 15 minutes of the whole season, you know, just injected straight into my veins. It was awesome.
So we start out the episode right there on Edge of Extinction, and it's finally time to do some shopping. We've been talking about like this is going to come eventually here. We've been talking about Natalie having 4 fire tokens, Rob has 3, and both of these two people, Rob and Natalie, decide that they are going to go for it, and they're going to buy an idol and buy a single advantage in this challenge. Now, we were talking about this before, where you could buy up to 3 advantages in a challenge, and it seems like everybody buys one. Nobody goes for the 2 or the 3. Everyone buys 1, and I think every single token that was on Edge of Extinction is now spent. So I guess the interesting thing here, I guess, is that the challenge here between Tyson and Rob is so incredibly close. It's like neck and neck right up to the last second, and you gotta think, oh man. If Rob had just, instead of going for that idol, if he had gotten that second advantage or that third advantage, he'd probably have won that thing, right?
Yeah,
it's so close.
Absolutely.
So close.
And I think him and Natalie just got greedy with the one advantage and then going for that idol.
Mm-hmm. I think, first of all, I want to say, I think it's really smart what Rob and Amber did here. It was kind of expected. I think we're talking about this being a very strong possibility where they pool their tokens together. Amber really doesn't have a chance in this challenge. So they put all their money on Boston Rob, who is apparently great at everything. Literally.
But putting not great
all
enough.
Putting all their money on Boston Rob, literally, here. It's a heck of a gamble here, and I feel like Boston Rob probably more than anyone else would need Nidal if he got back in the game, because he's such a huge target, because he's someone who's so hard to, you know, can you trust Boston Rob to benefit, like he's going to benefit himself the entire time? It's a tough sell, but you got to get back in the game first, right? You got to get back in the game.
Yeah. It's tough. Like, I think he just thought since everybody else was doing one advantage, he can get a little greedy with it. And he does. If he went back in, he's the number one target. So you kind of do feel like you have to have that advantage with you. But my big issue with Edge of Extinction, I said it before, is a guy like Ewell, who was right there in it, he just got so screwed over just because he lasted longer than anyone there and now couldn't even buy one advantage. If he had just 1 fire token, was able to buy one advantage, he gets back in.
Yeah, that's really the unfortunate thing here. And you can kind of, I guess Parvati did have a chance to find some tokens there, but she doesn't have any either. But she kind of suffers from the same thing where, you know, a couple, if you got voted out, you know, the first or second or the third, I mean, they basically just with that log challenge just gave a bunch of fire tokens out for free. So anyone who is voted out first or second or third is going to have one of these tokens. So Danny, who's done absolutely nothing on Edge of Extinction, has a token and an advantage. But Yule, who played a great game and got voted out at the last minute, and spends virtually no time on Edge of Extinction, he is so far behind everybody else just because he arrived last. And that stinks. It really does kind of stink. And it doesn't quite feel right. I don't know. It just doesn't...
It just feels opposite of what they're going for with Survivor. And even though Yule had that huge disadvantage, he was right there. If he doesn't drop that ball, he might actually win.
Yule was definitely in the hunt. And, you know, maybe he could have made something work with an advantage there. But, you know, I guess you could possibly say that if you've been out of the game for such a long time, like Natalie has, like Danny has, like maybe even Ethan has, then you really do need some kind of, like, advantage maybe. If you're going to get back in the game just because you're so far behind socially. But, I mean, you got to get back in the game first. And if you don't have any fire tokens, that's going to be tough.
So what did you think of who came back? With Tyson coming back, were you happy? Were you sad? Who did you want to come back? What did you think of all that?
I will say that this is probably one of the best possible options here. I would have loved to have seen Yule come back for sure. I think Tyson, maybe Natalie, but Tyson is one of the few people who could make something work of it, of a second time around. He is part of that former The Call group, as opposed to a Cele, who are kind of behind in the numbers a little bit, maybe because he has a better relationship with all these power players in the game, he can kind of get something going. It looks like he's already got something going a little bit with Tony and Jeremy and Ben and the quote big threats, but I was excited, and I think Tyson is he's a fantastic guy in the confessionals. Like he's so funny, and he is this means we'll probably see more of him, which is great. And we get to see Tyson playing from the bottom, which is great because I think that someone with Tyson's personality is absolutely insufferable when he is in power and absolutely like enchanting when he is out of power. It's like one of those, you know?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah. I gotta say, as much as I love Tyson and he's on my fantasy Survivor squad and stuff, so I was happy to see him come back. I was a little disappointed that Rob or Yule didn't come back. I think those two were the only two, and Parvati, I think, that would have been a little more compelling, but yeah. Rob and Yule both being in that final three that were in there, I think I would have rather seen either of them come back, but I loved his, you know, guttural victory cry and everything, which was really cool. And, you know, Rob had his chance.
Yeah.
He was there first. He was just a split second behind, but if he doesn't drop that ball, he wins that.
And if he makes the decision not to go for the idol, maybe he wins it as well. Although you got to think that if Rob gets back in the game without an idol, having Ben and all these other folks there, you know, maybe he's going to be the person just gets voted out here at the merge, you know, instead of Wendell. Just because he's Boston Rob, man. He's so...
Yeah, you have to put the target on him. So I really don't blame him, especially because he got that extra token and everything too, and he was right there in it. So he's going to have a real good shot to come back because it's pretty much two against everyone else because they're just him and Amber are just going to team up again.
Yeah, that is true. And although we will have to see who gets voted out in the meantime here, there's going to be something very interesting, though. I want to give a shout out to the Survivor editors for some foreshadowing. And foreshadowing has been a little bit hit or miss this season. I feel like we had some foreshadowing that there was going to be something interesting going on between Rob and Sandra. That really didn't happen. But one piece of foreshadowing, and I'm gonna do something I've never done before here, Lance. I'm going to play you a clip. I'm going to play a clip from a couple weeks ago, Lance.
Ooh.
Yeah, how about this?
The idol is three tokens, but if I wasted three tokens on this and never got back in the game, I would look the fool. But I'm not a fool. I don't think.
He is not a fool. He is not a fool. And I've got to say that this decision to eat peanut butter looks so damn good right now. It really does. Do you think?
Yeah, I was gonna save this for the what we learned, but I learned that the peanut butter was worth it. It paid off.
Yeah, and I want to say, like, I think that this peanut butter really could have been a factor here in this win. Just, you know, there are plenty of aspects of this challenge where if Tyson moves us a little bit slower, doesn't have as much energy, he's gonna fall a couple seconds behind, and Rob's gonna beat him out. So
that's right. He knew all the nutritional aspects of peanut butter, and it paid off. But now I wonder, did he tell anybody else where the peanut butter was? If he gets voted off again, does he go straight back to his spot where he left the peanut butter? Did he eat it all?
That's a great question. I was wondering that myself, whether or not he got to bring the jar with him, like the leftovers. I don't know. It's a great question. I'm sure he went and ran off and had a big old bite of it before the challenge as well. So, you know, a little peanut butter on his breath, but that's good. That's good. The challenge itself was, the challenge itself was absolutely epic. There were like six or seven pieces to it. It reminded me a lot. The pole building to get the key. Like, I've seen that before in like Redemption Island challenges. Like, I think Ozzy did that to get back in the game. Now I did press pause on my, I watched it live, cause what the hell else am I going to do? I'm stuck here in this sequester for the next 3 months or whenever it is. So I went this morning and I rewatched the episode and I hit pause to actually take a look at this like advantage menu, like the Edge of Extinction Challenge advantages. And there seemed to be a little bit of confusion online as to whether or not people could have bought the three, what they would have been. But it's all spelled out here on the sheet that appears on your TV screen for like a fraction of a second. So we saw advantage one is just you skip that digging, right? But the second advantage, there are three sticks pre-assembled. That's the second piece of the advantage if you spend two tokens. And if you spend three tokens, that key ring that you use the sticks to get is a little bit closer. So, you know, it's pretty easy to see how, you know, one or two of those advantages there would have really changed the outcome, which is,
I mean, bad. Depending how close it came, Tyson might have not even had to use any sticks. He's so tall and lengthy that he might have just been able to grab it at that point.
He is but a I do think long ass man.
He is. The one thing, that really stuck out to me was this competition was really built for Tyson and Rob. It's like I said, Tyson's so long and everything, and then Rob's just good at everything. So you can kind of just assume he's going to be good at it. But like, just everything that he had to do, like that was made for Tyson and gave him a real advantage.
Yeah. One more interesting thing that I noticed here on the advantage menu here on Edge of Extinction is about the hidden immunity idol. And it's hard to read exactly the full paragraph of rules that come with it because the paper's a little bit curled up, words are hidden, it's hard to see. But what you can see is, and I'm gonna quote, it's a partial quote, but these are the only words I could read here. Fail to get back in this time, you keep the idol. Obviously, there's some words preceding that. I'm guessing, like, if you fail to get back in this time, you keep the idol. And then later in that paragraph, it says, it may be given or sold. It doesn't say to who. Maybe it's hidden. I'm guessing on Edge of Extinction, you know, if Natalie gets Amber picks up a couple more tokens, she could buy a second idol from Natalie, maybe. But it's interesting to note that those idols that Rob and Natalie have are not necessarily completely useless. If they get back in the game, you know, at the next opportunity, which is presumably Final Five, Final Six, they could use that idol. So not entirely wasted, but probably wasted. At least one of them did. For sure one of them wasted it.
Yeah. Yeah, and so now if Rob and Amber can just somehow come together and get three tokens, they can buy the next three advantages in that battle back, and he's got everything you need, pretty much.
Yep, And I don't believe you would need more than one idol, because by the time you get back in the game, there are not going to be many opportunity, not many tribal challenge, not many tribal councils where you can use that idol anyway. Especially
yeah. So if they get fire at four, if they hit their three, they can go and buy some peanut butter or some food or something too, to just get even stronger for that challenge.
Maybe something to make the Edge of Extinction more romantic for them. I know Jeff was very concerned about it. Not being romantic for them, and that was what he was hoping for, I guess. I don't know.
I just can't imagine how an island where you sleep on the sand and you get a scoop of rice a day isn't romantic.
It's so beautiful. You're dirty and smelly all the time.
It physically broke some of the strongest people, like Natalie. Even Tyson doesn't have a joke about it, and then Probst's like, is it romantic?
Yeah, Tyson's like crying there. That's intense, man. Edge of Extinction, I guess, breaks you. Everybody hates it. when you're there, it's
worst place the Boston Rob's ever been to.
And when you're at home, you're not sure if you like the twist anyway. I'm glad we have it here. I am glad to see Tyson get back in the game. We'll see if he can follow through on Parvati's request to crush them. We'll see. We'll see. But it does seem like he does put some get some roots in those cracks, so to speak, and sticks around at least for this first tribal. No one's even speaking his name in this episode as someone that they need to get out. So, you know, the day of reckoning could come in 6 days and 9 days at some point in the future, but it doesn't come here. And he really just kind of works his way back into the fold. And that's one of the reasons why I'm glad it was him who got back in the game. So Rick Devins 2.0 is apparently Tyson. So
I'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I think that about covers our Edge of Extinction hijinks here. The next up, obviously, we are merged, and we've got some wild happenings at the merge, and we're going to talk about that right after this.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, Lance, so we are back, and we're talking the merge here. We have 11 survivors, plus Tyson, now bringing us up to 12. And we've got a big merge feast, and finally everybody gets a chance to meet each other. And Denise gets a chance to tell her story about how she slayed the queen with her own idol. I think it's very interesting here. About Denise and her position in this game. She's really setting herself up to be a huge target here. Even Sophie mentions it. You know, one person has a resume out here, and it is Denise.
I'm worried about Denise just because of, like, they showed it a couple episodes ago. Tony was really trying to put her on a pedestal, and now it's just obvious. And it feels like she's kind of, like, digging it a little bit. She's, like, liking her own smell and stuff. Like, she's just getting very confident. She's like, oh yeah, I'm the Queen Slayer. And she's just very confident in that, which you like to see and stuff, but it just feels like something bad's going to happen.
Yeah, and I want to say, we're going to talk more about the immunity challenge in a little bit, but, you know, if Denise doesn't win that, and if Denise is not immune at this tribal council, she is in a heap of trouble. Because it seems like a lot of people's plans involve, well, now that it can't be Denise, maybe it should be this person. So, you know, she's lucky. She's lucky here. And maybe this one immunity is all she needs. But I'm worried for her moving forward. Interestingly enough, there is, despite the fact that Denise is a huge target, and everybody's kind of like looking at her like that, there are four other huge targets in the game who decide that they would like to work together. And that's Tyson, Ben, Tony, and Jeremy. These big alpha male types, I guess you could say, who really are seen as threats. And at no point does that group of four include Denise in this conversation that, oh, well, she's a huge threat too now. So maybe it's her. No, they just realize that, oh no, it's just the four of us and boy, are we outnumbered.
I love that their idea of big threats was really just guys versus girls.
Only men. Yes, that's right. Only guys. Although to be fair, when Tony does talk about who the non-big threats are, small threats are, so to speak, it's Wendell, Nick, Adam, and Michelle. Michelle's yeah. really the only person here who's listed as a small threat. From
it's really just a Ben thing. Ben is the guy that thinks yeah. it's men are the threats.
Yeah. And then, you know, no one's calling Sophie either a big threat or a small threat. You know, and no one's calling Sarah a big threat or a small threat. And maybe that's exactly where you want to be. Just in the middle there. You know, no one's targeting you because you're a big threat. No one's targeting you because you're a little threat. You're just there. And I'm thinking that, you know, this group of big threats are going to go, you know, they're going to make it a couple more rounds in the game. And then I feel like it's going to turn against them. At some point.
Yeah, especially if Sophie just keeps, you know, shadow running the game, kind of what Jeremy wanted to do, where she's driving the bus. And
yeah.
If it's her, she put the target on Wendell and she got Wendell. So if she wants the big targets out, I feel like the way the game's going, she can get those big targets out.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Jeremy for a little bit, because I think his position in the game is very interesting. And Sophie really has him clocked, like 100%. Sophie knows exactly what's going on, where, you know, Jeremy's saying, like, he wants to drive the bus, but he doesn't want everyone to know he's driving the bus. And then Sophie's basically sitting there saying, like, so it looks like Jeremy's the power player here. Like, he has so much power, like, an outsized amount of power. And she's really, you know, when this vote comes together, and it starts to be like, okay, is it going to be Wendell? Is it going to be Nick? It really comes down to like, who is going to hurt Jeremy the most if they go out of the game, which I think is such an interesting way of like looking at the vote. I think it really shows you like the level at which Sophie is playing. Versus the level that which everyone else is playing. You know, like, it looks like, it feels like Tony and Tyson and Jeremy and Ben, they're two steps ahead, but at the same time, it seems like Sophie's three steps ahead, and everyone else is back. Like, Adam may be, like, four steps behind. Like, he is...
Yeah, I don't even know if Adam's on the board anymore.
He's there and he's playing and he is the person who you say is going home but then doesn't go home. So let's talk about how this vote starts shaping up here. Because at first it's you know, Wendell's kind of throwing Sophie's name out there, possibly saying that Sophie's playing the game. Jeremy notes that Denise is playing a much better game than people think. And Wendell tells Jeremy they have a good thing going, Wendell and Jeremy, because apparently they know each other outside the game. It's another one of those where they've met.
They
each
did
other.
A terrible job of hiding how much they liked each
did
other too. If they're gonna team up, you just can't be buddy buddy like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's clear as day that they're just good friends. And Jeremy hears that Wendell's mentioning Nick is his number one, so Jeremy wants to be Wendell's number one. So Nick has got to go. Is that a good move for Jeremy's game? Like, is that good for Jeremy?
No, I don't think so. Especially because we have all the information, so we. Personally, he should be targeting the people running the game and stuff. Like, I get where he's coming from, where if this person is in the spot I want to be, then I should take that spot. Kind of, you know, Game of Thrones-ish or like Star Wars-ish, where, you know, like the Sith leader taking over and stuff. So I kind of get that, but this actually might end up being okay for Jeremy, just because if it frees him from being connected with Wendell and maybe a sinking ship with Nick and Michelle, maybe Jeremy can, you know, be a swing vote somewhere, but he's still such a physical threat that I feel like unless he can get some more advantages, he might be in some trouble. But he does have that one advantage to get out of tribal.
That's true. That's true. And just as a reminder, that one can be used at up until final 10. We are now, next episode is final 11. So it's either next episode or the one after that.
Which might be really good timing for him.
It could be.
Next week could be his week. I feel like Adam is just the easy play, and maybe that's a guy they just string along, and he's the layup at the end, and they take out Jeremy. But I think Jeremy, his days are numbered unless some things change.
Yeah. You know, and Jeremy is such a, you know, he is just such a, he's a huge target. Like, he knows it, and we know it, and he is so, he's driving the bus, man. He wants to drive that bus, and that is, it is not a good time for bus drivers right now. He's going to get taken out.
I do think it was really cool that the episode really followed him around, and he's, you know, trying to drive the bus, but everything that he's doing was changed. He altered his plan. He's like, okay, I guess we'll go after Adam as long as it's not Wendell, kind of thing. And you see all that, and then you just kind of see Sophie really doing the shadow moves that actually worked and stuff. And I thought that was a really interesting dynamic.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, Jeremy's talking about how he doesn't want to be seen as the one who's driving the bus, but maybe he's basically describing Sophie's position here, where yep. Sophie is really the key person here, it seems, who, or at least the edit gives her the credit for it, of moving things from between, okay, it's either Wendell or Nick, and moving it from Nick, because Jeremy thinks he can work with Wendell, to vote out Wendell, because Jeremy thinks he can work with Wendell. And Sophie even tells this to Tony, that she doesn't mind cutting Jeremy off the knees here by voting out Wendell. First of all, like, I think that's very interesting that they have this conversation. That's like that should be a big warning sign, I think, for Tony here, who has this plan. Like, Tony's the one who is all gung-ho about keeping these big threats in the game. And Sophie is basically telling Tony, like, Jeremy's a big threat. We need to weaken him.
I think Tony's just kind of blinded by, like, hey, I need to stay alive, and I need to get my people together and stuff. But we also, you know, we got a lot more of Tony reacting than, you know, Tony being a big part of the episode. So I do wonder if that did get on his radar and we just didn't see it. Because I agree with you. Everything that she said would be like, holy crap, she's playing this game. Maybe she moves up on my list.
Yeah. Tony has, I guess the theme of Tony's game here, and it's not just this episode, it's come up a couple times, where this episode specifically, he mentions kind of going with the flow and wherever the stream takes him. And he kind of did that with, you know, some previous votes as well. And that's gotten him here, which is great. Like, Tony made the merge, and, you know, Tony has not gotten a single vote against him yet, but at some point, you know, you're going to need to, like, you're entering the end game, and it really does matter which chess pieces are still on the board. And Tony's getting rid of all the chess pieces that he could really need here. You know, like, he's losing he lost Sandra, who he really could have used. You know, unfortunately, Sandra kind of turned against him. But, you know, Tony was a big part of why that happened. And then, you know, here he loses a meat shield in Wendell here, and, you know, it's I'm worried about him. I've been worried about him for a while, and I want to see Tony go far, because Tony's fantastic and he's crazy and he's so good TV, but I'm worried about him.
Yeah, I just want to see, say he does continue on and he makes it. Well, how's he going to win? He needs to start building his resume a little bit. He can't just show up at the end and think he's going to win. And I think that's going to start getting in the back of people's heads, especially now that we're at the merge. I think you're going to start seeing people be a little more reckless, a little more, I need to outshine some of these people, especially because we're already hearing, like, Denise has this very public resume. Yeah. Sophie's playing this really strategic game. Who other than those two has, like, the story to win right now? I know it's still early. We just merged and stuff. But, like, those two are the only two that are really putting together that I deserve to win kind of resume right now. Maybe Michelle, too.
Yeah. Let's dig deeper a little bit into this here, right here. Especially because these so-called big threats here, right? Tyson, Ben, Tony, Jeremy. How many of these four people actually have a shot at winning the game? I'll be honest. If I was playing this game, I'd be fine, like, making an alliance and taking Ben to the end, because I don't think Ben's going to win. Ben thinks he's a big threat, but he's not. Ben's a middling threat.
What has Ben done, you know?
He got rid of Boston Rob, but I think that was probably a mistake. Like, that's what he did. So, you know, he's got that, but that's about it.
Sophie can just take credit for that move, too, as she was a part of it.
Yeah, Tony's done really nothing here, like you said, to merit winning the game. You know, maybe he'll do something in the future, but if we're deciding now, it's not Tony. Jeremy's got Natalie on Edge of Extinction to vote for him. But has Jeremy really done a lot in this game? You know, he made it through a tribal because, you know, Denise saved him. I don't know that he has a real great resume here either. I want to say the only person of this four who I think has a great shot of winning the game here is Tyson. Because Tyson doesn't go back in the game with an idol, but I think he goes back in the game with like 6 jury votes. Every single old school player is going to vote for Tyson. They're all rooting for him. So I think that makes Tyson the only of these big threats. He's the only one who's legitimately a big threat. And no one's even concerned about him.
Yeah, I could potentially see like Jeremy make like a run and win like a lot of idols or a lot of immunity challenges and stuff and go from there. But yeah, like you said, none of those people really have. I definitely see Tyson as a strong contender, but I just don't see him making it to the end either. I feel like he's just going to go back to Edge of Extinction.
Yeah. I think you mentioned Denise, like, for sure. I think she's got an argument if she makes it to the end. You know, she's got a big move there, and if she does make it to the end, it'll be, you know, she doesn't have an awful lot of friends in this game. She's got an alliance mate here in Adam. But it looks like Denise is ready to cut Adam free if she needs to. Yeah. And Adam is so out of the loop that no one wants to talk strategy with him that she really can't do anything with Adam, without like joining him on the bottom. So that's almost like a dead end. You know, it's hard to, honestly, it's hard to see Adam winning the game at this point, right? Like, Adam, more than anything else, is looking like a real good contender here, possibly to be that zero vote guy at the end who, you know, makes it to the final tribal, but no one's going to want to vote for him. You know, I could see that happening for sure. You know, it's I think it's very limited as to the, you know, the number of people who have a shot at winning this game.
Exactly. I really think it's two. And to me, it'd be a huge upset if Sophie doesn't win right now.
Yeah, she looks great. But the one thing I think that makes this season so complicated and so hard to read is the fact that it is an Edge of Extinction season.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Tyson being back, we really had no idea who was coming back in the game. Like, there was no, like, we thought it was going to be Natalie just because she was in such a great position with all the tokens, possibly Rob because he's so good at challenges and also has a ton of tokens. You know, Tyson, obviously in a hunt here, but probably was not the number one choice. Number one, you know, on top of the list of people who would be most likely to return. So, you know, and there's going to be one more at that final 5, final 6, where they're going to be such a big player in the game. And, you know, if who knows what putting Amber in at that point could do, or putting Parvati in at that point could do, or putting, you know, it's so hard to tell because we just have zero information about that. And there's like no, like, there's not a lot we can like we're just kind of blind to what's going to happen in the future. And it's going to change things so much. So it's hard to say for sure, but with you, like, I think Sophie has been kind of like my pick all season long. And with each episode, she is looking better and better. But I think that's because she is such a fantastic player, and that's why I chose her as one of my winner picks, Adam being the other one, because she is just like, she just knows what to do and she is great at executing it. And she's just a likable person as well. Like, you know, how did you feel for her when she was cold? Like, I wanted to give her my jacket. If I had a members only jacket, I would have given it to Sophie.
I mean, I felt bad for all of them. I don't think I felt bad like for her more than anybody else. But then she also had like a turtleneck sweater like after that all happened and stuff too. So I don't know how bad I could really feel. But to get back to what you're saying, yeah, I think the only way, I mean, she could be getting that Devon's edit where it's like, okay, this guy, or for her, this girl is winning this whole thing. But then – someone comes back and kind of takes it and stuff. That, but still just feels like a huge upset if Sophie does not win.
Yeah. All right. Let's, I want to talk a little bit about, we're going to talk a little bit about the, immunity and individual immunity challenge. I think we just kind of started talking about it anyway. So let's get into that. And I also want to talk a little bit more about, Adam and his confessionals, because he is just, he may not win the game, but he is very entertaining. And we're going to do all that right after this.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Okay, Lance, so we are, we're back, and let's talk about this individual immunity challenge for a little bit, because this is a Survivor classic, and it is a, I love this challenge. It's one of those stamina challenges, and it's just hold on to this pole as long as you can. And
it just looks so awful, just they're freezing, they're wet, in pain, just on that pole. It's just the perfect first challenge in Emerge.
Yeah, and the rain just like puts it over the edge, right? That's what makes, because it's like slippery now and it's miserable and it's so much harder, and that makes it good. That just makes it so good. It's a individual immunity challenge, but they give away two necklaces here, which I think is interesting. There's one for a man and one for a woman, a token bonus as well. They're gonna put a couple of tokens into the survivor economy, a little bit of a post-merge bailout here. So it's a high stake challenge to be sure here, and it is a rough challenge. Like my hands hurt just looking at that thing. I guess my feet too, because I guess that's the worst of it, right?
My feet hurt way more.
Because
Michelle, the person I actually felt. I know how you said if you asked me if I felt bad for anybody, the person I felt bad for was Michelle. That fall she took was gnarly.
That's,
it was like kind of reminded me of Jacqueline in San Juan del Sur when she took that huge fall.
Oh, look at you getting a deep cut there from San Juan.
That's right.
She must have fallen like 10 feet. That was a big fall. And you can see the other, the other survivors like afterwards were kind of like inching their way down the pole as they were getting closer to failure. I guess they wanted to avoid that. Yeah. But like Michelle was down until Adam like was there like and picked her up basically.
She's so lucky that she didn't seriously injure herself too and had to get taken and medevaced or anything, She got really lucky.
But she is so tough. Like I love Michelle, and this is like another, like we were talking like last week when she like really took that hard fall on the balance beam and just kind of like laughed it off, like even though it for sure had to hurt like heck. And like again this week, like it really looks like that like really, really hurt, but like she doesn't need medical. Like she's not like crying, she's not screaming, she's not like in pain. She's just dealing with it. Like she just needs a moment. Like she's so badass.
Yeah.
She's so badass.
Yeah. I need to make sure that my legs, I can still stand up and everything. Yeah. But my favorite throughout the whole challenge was Adam. Like he was so terrified, especially after seeing Michelle fall, and he kept being so scared. And then when he did fall, it reminded me of the Jess fall in Big Brother, where it was like so overdramatic to drop like 2 feet. It was amazing.
Yeah, Adam is there. Adam, there's no one quite like Adam in this game, or probably even in Survivor in the past. But
he was just so terrified the entire episode.
I'm so scared. He just like, he was so scared, but like he's up there, he's like 15 feet above the ground. Like I would be scared too. That is very high to fall if your arms give out. And certainly Adam is probably guessing that he is not the type of person who's going to win this challenge, and at some point he is coming down off that pole. And it might be from 15 feet. And so that is a good reason to be scared. But like a couple hours.
Yeah, I really thought he had a chance.
Yeah.
I thought he actually had a chance to win it until he started saying, I'm scared and defeated himself, because he's a smaller guy. And these are the kind of things that a smaller guy can actually do pretty well. But he also going against Jeremy, who just had a perfect strategy, is tough.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, it's like this, like, Adam is just like, it's like these wild swings where, like, he's low and then he's high and then he's low. But, like, he's in the rain. He's like, oh, we're having fun now. This is great. I, like, lived through a superstorm tsunami. Like, he's loving it. But, like 5 seconds later, he's so scared.
Heights just aren't his thing.
Yeah. Heights and maybe Survivor Alliances are not quite his thing, because his if he's working with the people he's working well with here are Denise, who's kind of ready to cut him loose if that's what needs to happen. Like, she's kind of literally brushing her shoulder off of Adam, like, Adam's nothing, you know, it's all smooth.
Yep.
And and even Ben,
and
like
Adam and Ben hate each other.
Yeah,
they just, like, hate each other.
Yes,
so
they do. Like, you could tell. Yes, you could tell. Like, that the confession, like, Adam has about Ben. You know, and then I go to Ben, and he says, "I don't know what it is." It's like that moment where Ben, like, he Adam doesn't understand why Ben's upset, because Adam's the one who could go home here. And the reason why Ben's upset is he just doesn't want to deal with Adam. Like, he just doesn't like Adam.
They're like siblings who just hate each other and stuff. It's so funny. Adam's definitely the little brother and stuff,
yeah.
But he would be so, honestly, like, I don't blame people for being fed up with him, because his paranoia would just kill me. Like, when he was doing the things like, dude, I'm trying to stay alive here. Crazy, yeah. Man. Like, that was so funny.
Yeah, it's he likes to double check, and he wants to have that lengthy conversation with people. And I guess Nick is the same way, and they're both in trouble for very similar reasons, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Nick will just pop out of nowhere, so that's tough.
Yeah. We'll get into that in a moment, but just to wrap up this individual immunity thing here, on the women's side, it does come down between Denise and Kim. Denise wins out here and picks up another fire token and an absolutely crucial immunity here, one that she probably needs. So congratulations to her. And on the men's side, it is between Jeremy and Nick, where Jeremy looks super serious and Nick kind of looks goofy. But Nick always looks like a little bit goofy, because that's just kind of a little bit Nick vibes.
He's just happy to be there.
Yeah, he is. He is. But, you know, kudos to Nick for hanging in there. You know, that is not an easy challenge. But Jeremy as well picks up immunity here, and as well picks up another token. And, you know, had Denise and Jeremy, who are a pair who are on the bottom, you know, they were just saying at the merge, you know, Jeremy and I were at the bottom, to have this pair win immunity here, it just really could dramatically change how this vote would have gone. Just because, you know, maybe Denise is your first choice. You can't go after Denise. We'll go after Jeremy, because Denise and Jeremy are together. Well, you can't go after either of them now, so what do you do? So, you know, it must win immunities, I would say, for both of them. And, you know, you got, if there's any time to win immunity, it's when you need it, right? So, all right.
Yeah, they got good timing.
Yeah, great timing, great timing. And let's, speaking of people with great timing, or perhaps people with less than great timing, you were talking about Nick, right? There are just so many great moments. Like, even when there was like that montage of Nick just walking up on people right before the vote, and then later, I love that it happens again, where it's just Jeremy at the well, and like he's talking, trying to figure out what's going on with Ben, and then all of a sudden Nick's there. It's great. It's great. Oh, the poor guy.
Yeah, and then Jeremy's just like, oh, hey, I've done that before. You're like, oh, and then you just talk to them real quick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he's getting such a brutal edit. I feel pretty bad for Nick. Like, just the montage of him popping out of nowhere when people don't want to talk to him. He had, what else? He had the poverty just telling that it was his high school crush. Like, he's just not getting the love from the editors this year.
Yeah. Well, it's probably somewhat in relation to how his game winds up. You'd imagine this is probably not what we would see if Nick wins the game. Not spoiler alert, Nick probably doesn't win, but it doesn't look like Nick's gonna win, based on what we've seen here. But, you know, 19 people can't. Only one person can. There's
That's correct. Your math is right.
One winner, 19 losers. I'm so good at math, I might be on the challenge next season. All right, basic math. Okay, let's talk about Tribal Council really quickly here. I feel like the most interesting thing I feel like at Tribal Council was this really a badass quote from Adam, and one of the best quotes I feel like I've seen in a voting confessional for some time, where he says when voting for Wendell that it's either you or me tonight. I know that, but do you? Like, that was just like, it was like a really well delivered line. And it's like a line that we've, like, similar things have been said before, but like, it really did get me, like, that one. And, you know, like,
I thought that was good, especially because he was saying how he didn't know what was going on earlier too. Obviously he did know a little bit what was going on, but
yeah, yeah, no. And that is exactly where I was going. Cause he does show like a lot of awareness in some self-awareness here in Tribal Council, where he is mentioning that, you know, well, no one's been talking to me. Like, I can't have a conversation with anybody. And if I'm sitting there as Wendell and I'm hearing all this, like, that's exactly what I want to hear. Like, of course it's going to be him. Like, that's what happens. Like, it's like he's not in on the vote, so no one's talking with him. It's got to be him. And then it winds up being Wendell. He's playing well, you know, from the bottom, and he's still around, but you know, it's, I don't know, man. He's got to do something to win this game. And I really do not know what he can do to turn this around. Like, at this point, like, he's got to do something to turn it around, but I'm just stumped as to what he can do to do that.
I just don't see any possible way, especially because he has such a, like, a stink on him. Like, even Nick said it. He's like, everyone I talked to said, don't trust him, even if you are playing with him and stuff. So it's tough when you get that on you and stuff. It's kind of like a football player. Once you get the stink on you, it's tough to come back from that.
Yeah. Yeah. And soap is in very short supply, so stink even harder to remove.
Yeah,
these days.
And they're all stinky out there.
Yeah. All right. Do you have anything else here at this Tribal Council here? Anything else to bring up?
The one thing that stuck out to me was I really loved Parvati hitting Boston Rob when she knew Wendell was gone.
Yeah.
She did it a couple times.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I like that too.
I thought that was really great. Parvati's like, hell yeah.
I like that too. You know, it's because obviously she was kind of victimized by that whole tribe, and now she's seen Yule go out, and she's seen Wendell go out, and Michelle's still in the game. So, you know, she's got to be feeling good about that.
So I kind of like that. Good for you, Parvati. Other than that, it was pretty nondescript Tribal Council, even though it was a great episode. The tribal was kind of like the lowest part of it, I guess.
Yeah. Someone actually, yeah, I think you're right. Someone actually pointed out something very interesting. I think it was on Reddit, but heck if I can remember what I was doing like 5 minutes ago, or less like 5 hours ago when I saw it. But someone pointed out that this episode we saw Nick and Wendell together on that swing. Like, there's just, like, this brief edit moment where they're just, like, hanging out in the swing together. And it's the same exact shot, pretty much, that we saw of Parvati and Michelle sitting on the swing together. Like, the doomed two, as, you know, as their fates were being decided by the other players.
That's a pretty good storytelling.
Yeah, it's cute. There's a lot of great storytelling in this entire season. The editors are on point here.
Yeah. One thing I did think was funny is like Wendell's like introducing this stuff. He's like, oh, we got the swing over here and everything. Once he built that, they had no more use for him. It's like, all right, thank you for the shelter. You can go now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the oldest survivor story in the book, right? Where it's like Ozzy thinks he's going to be able to stick around because he's the guy who always catches the fish. But at some point people are like, well, you know, we got fit. Like, we don't need the fit. Like, we can just get, we don't need him. We don't need him anymore. We used him and he's outlived his usefulness, and unfortunately Wendell outlived.
It's definitely an old school survivor thing where it's like, oh, this is the person who provides for us, so we need to keep him around. It's like that isn't, it's not survivor anymore.
Mm-hmm. Nothing left to build, so get rid of the builder. Maybe him and Rob can swap some tips on building there, since they're both experts. All right. Okay. So before we wrap things up, I think it's time once again for a Survivor Business Report. because we have had quite a bit of dealings here. So it looks like every single token that was on the edge of extinction has now been spent, right? We had five people buying the advantage with one token. Rob's and Natalie spent three each on the idol. So that basically wipes us out. Everybody's starting with zero, including now Wendell, who is on the edge of extinction. Everybody starts with zero here moving forward. Wendell, on his way out of the game, gives one token to Michelle and one token to Nick, basically refunding Michelle the token that Michelle gave to Wendell a couple episodes before. Yeah. Nick making out pretty good here too. So they are our big money leaders right now, actually. And Michelle is back in the lead with four fire tokens. She has the most of anybody. And Nick is close behind her at three. So Nick has three, Michelle has four. There are three people here who have two tokens. Sophie, Jeremy, and Denise, they all have two tokens each. And everybody else has one. So that's where the fire tokens stand. And of course, there are, you know, Jeremy has that safety without power advantage we were talking about. Kim has an idol. Sophie has an idol. So there's a lot of other stuff besides more valuable items than just fire tokens hanging out in this game, right? Oh, and Sarah as well can steal a vote. She has that advantage as well. So there's a lot that's still right out there.
It's going to be really interesting because Nick and Michelle seem to be on the bottom, and that's a lot of fire tokens that could be bequeathed to a lot of people.
Although we do know now that Tony tells us that things are getting more expensive now that we've reached the merge. So perhaps now you're going to need multiple tokens to buy an advantage, now that tokens are being consolidated, right? And indeed we do get a look at the new menu over at the Merge Beach. And there's some interesting rewards here, and some interesting advantages. I want to read these to you, Lance, and see if you think there are any good buys here on the list, if there's anything that you should keep an eye out for or save up for. So on the advantage side, we have two advantages. One, you can steal someone's spot on a reward. That's going to cost you three tokens. So it's either the person who wins the reward or the person who is chosen by the person who wins to go on the reward. You can just steal someone's spot. And for two tokens, you can send a personal note to any player on the edge of extinction. So basically, you can send mail to a jury member at any time for two tokens. There are also some food items. The bag of beans is back. That's four. The regular bag of rice, that's five tokens. They can buy two pillows and two blankets for four. Tyson was talking a little bit about buying a tarp. That's going to cost five. Going to have to pool some resources there to get that. And the menu does note that the last day you can buy something is sundown of day 34. That's when this menu will expire. Lance, is there anything on that menu worth buying?
Not really. I guess the only one that kind of piques my interest is stealing the advantage, just because maybe there's some hidden immunity idol on the reward trip or anything, but that does point out that we are going to start getting some more competitions with actual rewards then.
I think the one that I actually think is the most compelling to me is the sending a personal note to any player on the edge of extinction. I don't think it's valuable. I wouldn't spend it myself, but I think it's a very interesting advantage to have. It's a very unique thing. You know, it's not really a thing that we've seen in Survivor before, where a person has the opportunity to really chat up someone who's already been voted out of the game, make a pitch why you should win, or make a pitch why you should be aligned with each other if you get back in, which I thought was very interesting. I feel like the closest thing that we've seen to that is maybe, I think like in Big Brother it happened once, right, where someone won an advantage where they were able to talk with a jury member, like go on like a short little trip with a jury member once.
Yeah,
but aside from that, like this is pretty unique, and I like that. I like things that are unique. So that's
Could definitely be a jury management thing.
Yeah,
yeah, it could be a jury management thing too. Get yourself a jury voter too.
Yeah, just Tyson could send mail back, just saying like, hey, here's where the peanut butter is, FYI, and then everyone will love him again. So
Could just send a you up to somebody.
That's right. It's a very, very expensive text, especially if you need to reply then. So two per reply. All right. So I think that about that wraps up the I think that wraps up our Survivor business report here. I'm going to be very interested to see where these go. Like, there's going to be more advantages, I presume, on the Edge of Extinction being sold into the game. So we're gonna keep an eye on that. But how well? Here's a question that I have, because like I know that it's been tricky for me to keep track of like where all these tokens are going and like who's got what and who spent what and what. How do you think the players in the game, like the people who are actively in the game right now, are keeping track of this? Like, do you think they have any idea where these tokens are?
I don't think so. I think they obviously think that, like, we heard from Yule that he thinks it's going to play a big part of it. But we haven't even seen people really discuss, like, how many do you think this person has? How many do you think this person has and stuff? Like, I just don't think it's that huge of a deal, because I don't think we've seen the outcomes yet. Yeah. So if somebody bought something and it was like a huge deal, then I think people would start caring more. But until we see exactly how that all plays out, I just don't think – I think it's definitely in the back of their mind, but it doesn't seem to be something that everyone's like, oh, if I vote this person out, they'll probably have more tokens. Or do you think this person gave it to this person? I just haven't seen that.
I think they probably have like a kind of like a like their information is like Swiss cheese. Like, they've got some of it, but there are a lot of holes everywhere. Like, yeah. I think people can kind of assume that, okay, well, Denise said she spent her tokens on Sandra's Idol, and okay, she just got one. So she's probably got one. She has what, two now, right? You might think that, okay, well, if Wendell goes out of the game, he's probably going to give his token to Michelle, since they were formerly kicking it. So maybe she's got a couple extra. You know, it's, I think once you, like, from there, like, it gets, I think, a lot tougher to track down where these are. And I think that's kind of what makes them fun in a sense. Like,
yeah.
It's hard telling who's got what.
Yeah. There's so much downtime that they obviously talk about it. I'm sure there's like conspiracy theories up the wazoo, like if you go on YouTube and just see a bunch of conspiracy theories and stuff, but we just haven't seen a lot of it yet. So I wonder if that's something that we'll see more of. I'm guessing we will. The advantages just aren't that great unless you're on Edge of Extinction, so yeah. It's just not playing a huge factor yet.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see how that turns out. So, Lance, before we wrap the episode up here, I'm curious. Every week we wrap things up by asking whether or not you learned anything. And I guess I stepped on your foot a little earlier when we blew one of the things you learned a little early.
I've actually used a few of mine. So
okay, all right. Well,
I have a couple things, but I can.
What do you got left?
Well, I'll go through the ones that we obviously talked about. So yeah. The peanut butter was worth it. That
For sure.
was an obvious one. And then I said, this is another thing I learned. It'll be an upset if Sophie doesn't win. And just pretty much Sophie doing exactly what Jeremy wanted to do, and Jeremy can't pull that off. I just learned that it's Sophie's game to lose now.
I think that is true. One thing I learned here is don't be a creeper. Don't be a creeper.
Yeah.
No one likes a creeper. It's one thing to be a part of a conversation and be a part of every conversation, and it's another to just see a conversation, walk up on it, and just kind of creep on it a little bit. I think that's that was kind of Nick's style there a little bit.
Don't be a creeper. Stuff, like, you want to get in a conversation and stuff, and you just slowly sneak up in there. You think you're doing the cool thing, and now it's very awkward and very weird, and you're popping out of nowhere.
I really like the line that Sophie had at Tribal Council, not to backtrack, but, you know, she mentioned that that the hardest thing about this game is accepting that you can't be in every conversation, and that there's some conversations you just won't be in, and you just got to trust that they're going fine. And unfortunately, it looks like people like Adam and Nick, they are not as trusting, and they need to be everywhere. And that is not good, that people are on the lookout. It's a all-winter season. So people's radar, you're not playing with people who don't know what they're doing. People know what they're doing.
Yep, exactly. And I guess the last thing I really learned was Tony has taken over the Yule role. He's the guy that's talking about the game of Survivor in a simple way to understand. We talked about as him comparing Survivor and the voting to the stream and just going with the flow and everything. And it felt like a very Yule thing to do. And we kind of see it. He's kind of like the guy in the Alliance who is, you know, trying to give a little bit of advice. He's obviously not as smart as Yule, but in the game, he's right on par with him, too.
Yeah. Poor Tony. He's in such a tough position, and he's in a tough position because of the nature of being Tony, where, you know, it seems like he doesn't want to make any moves here because he is known for that guy who's crazy and makes these big moves. But if he doesn't make any moves here and he just goes with the flow the whole time, he's going to get washed away. And at some point that's going to happen here, unless he does something. And, you know, it's, he basically gave this one up to Sophie. You know, she kind of got the better of end of the stick this time. And it's not a full out war yet, but that war is coming.
I want to see if a war happens between Sophie and Denise, because we've mentioned them as like the two leaders in the clubhouse to win this thing. And they both have these resumes, and I just wonder if they'll ever get each other in the crosshairs or if they keep going for similar targets and stuff, and maybe one of them gets clipped before they go head-to-head. But to me, that would be a really fun matchup if they both kind of realize this is another person that can win the game. Do I go after this person now?
That would be, but I gotta warn Denise about that, because it looks like if Wendell's any judge, the moment you say Sophie's a threat, this is the moment you disappear from the game.
And do we start seeing people go after the knees of Sophie? She has a lot of connections with a lot of people, so it's a little tougher.
She does not seem to be on anybody's radar as that person. And based on who is working, like Tony, like just that conversation, like we don't have a lot of that conversation between Tony and Sophie, but it really looks like they're working together real well, because it's a very open and honest conversation with each other, you know? And
yep.
Tony seems very okay with doing what Sophie wants, even though it is opposed to what he wants, because they are working together. You know, we said, like, she's got that relationship now with Ben and with Sarah, and she's in such a good spot, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, enough about Sophie being great, until next week, when I'm sure we'll talk about Sophie being great some more. but I think that about wraps us up for this week here. I want to remind everyone that, you know, we are going to be here throughout the entire season, in studio or at home, wherever we are, we're going to be finishing this thing up. So please, if you haven't subscribed to the Survivor Brothers yet, we would love it if you did. We're available on every major podcasting app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Wherever you'll find good podcasts, you'll find ours. And if you really love the Survivor Brothers, we would be most appreciative if you would leave us a review on your favorite podcasting app. Five stars only, or else Lance gets fired. Right, Lance?
That's correct. I don't want to get fired.
Nope. That's the last thing we want. We need you here, man. All
right.
So don't get Lance fired, everybody. All right. So I'll see you back here next week. Right, Lance?
That's right.
All right. And we'll see you guys back here, too, faithful listeners. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You're ready, Bob.
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount+.